Shalom to all. Today's Havas Sanhedrin Daf Chaf, and we are starting Yud Tes Amud Beis about 3 lines off at the bottom with the words Amar Rabbi Yochanan. And today's Havas sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Mem Shar Basar Yaakov Moshe Her Neshama should have an Aliyah. So we discussed yesterday how Shalom Melech married his daughter Michal off to Palti. However, since she was really married to David, her and Palti did not live together as husband and wife. And now we're going to explore this in context of similar stories in which there was great temptation, yet the person withstood the test. We know that Yosef HaTzadik was tempted by Eshes by Tifar, and Bayas was tempted by Ruos when she came to the granary at night. So the Gemara tells us Amar Rabbi Yochanan says Tekvah Shal Yosef and Sanusa Shal Bayas. The great strength of Yosef is considered easy in relative to Bayaz, and Tekvah Shal Bayaz, the great strength of Bayaz, Anu Sanusa Shal Palti Ben Laish, is considered easy in regards to Palti Ben Laish. Tekvah Shal Yosef, Anu Sanusa Shal Bayaz, how do we know this? The Chesuk Pasuk says, Vahi B'chatzi Alayla, it was halfway through the night, Vayachar Ish, and the man was afraid, this is referring to Bayaz, Vayila face, and he turned over, and the question is, my Vayila face, what does this mean? Amar Rav explains, Shanasa Basari Kurash Liftois, that his flesh, meaning his Aver Tashmish, became like the head of a turnip, meaning it became hard, he got a Kishoy Aver, and so we see that Bayaz overcame in a much stronger way than Yosef did, because Eshes Patifar was married and she wasn't in bed with him, as opposed to Rus, who was unmarried and in bed with Bayaz, and he was physically aroused and nonetheless he withstood the temptation. And the great strength of Bayaz is considered easy in comparison to Palti Ben Laish, it's like what we said previously, because as we had explained, Palti lived with Michal for many years and was never intimate with her, as opposed to Bayaz was just a one night thing that he had to control himself for. And the writings are Rechon Rechon tells us, was Pshat in the following Pasuk, Rabbis Banus Asu Chayil, the many daughters acted with valor, va'at olis al kolana, but you rose above them all. So Rabbi Zbarnas Zuchayil is a Yosef and Bayaz. Many daughters acted with valor, that's referring to Yosef and Bayaz. But va'at olis al kolana is a Palti Ben Laish, that's referring to Palti Ben Laish, who overcame in a much greater way than Yosef and Bayaz. And Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, Rabbi Yonasan, Ma'idach Sev was pshat in the pasuk, Shakar Achin ve'haval Yofi, that grace is false and beauty is vain. Shakar Achin is a Yosef, that's Yosef, ve'haval Yofi is a Bayaz, that's Bayaz. Yiras Hashem, hitas halal, fear of Hashem, that's praised. That Palti Ben Laish, that's Palti Ben Laish's overcoming of temptation. And the Rach, another way of understanding this pasuk, Shekhar Achin, Zedar Shal Moshe, this is the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, who were very learned in Torah. Ve'haval Yofi, Zedar Shal Yeshua, this is the generation of Yeshua, who were also very learned in Torah. Yiras Hashem Hitas Halal, Zedar Shal Chizkiyah, this is referring to the Dar of Chizkiyah Melech, about whom the Gemara later on in the Masechta says that there wasn't a single Amma Aretz found throughout all the land. And the Rach, another understanding is, Shekhar Achin, Zedar Shal Moshe, via Yeshua, Ve'haval Yofi, Zedar Shal Chizkiyah, and Yiras Hashem Hitas Halal, Zedar Shal Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai, that's referring to the generation of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai, and Amr Al of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai, they said about Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai, Shayu Shisha Talmidim, Miskasim Talas Achas, 6 Talmidim would cover themselves with the same garment, Va'iskam Atira and learn Torah, even though they were so poor, 6 of them had to share one garment, nonetheless they continue learning Torah. And the Mishnah continues discussing a Jewish king, Mesoy Mes, when one of his close relatives dies, Ein Yosef Pesach Patron Shaloi, he does not leave his palace. However, Rabbi Yehuda argues and says, Imrat Talatas Achar Mita, if he wants to go out after the Mita, after the Aron, following the funeral, Yaitse is allowed to do so. How do we know this? Shekin Matsinim with David Shalat Achar Mita Shal Avner. David Amelch followed the Mita of Avner, Shemar the Pasuk says, Vamelch David Hoylech Achar Mita. However, Amru Loi the Chum told him, Loi Hayadavar El Lafayas Zaam. That was only to appease the nation. This refers to the story that after Shaul Melch died, even though David was officially the king, because Hashem proclaimed so, Shaul's son, Ishbosheth, took the Melucha for himself. Avner, who's Shaul's general, supported Ishbosheth, but later went to David. And then David's general, Yoav, killed Avner, and in order to show that he did not support this and that he was actually pained greatly, David led the Levaya. And that's the only reason why he went out to the Levaya, but all other kings are not allowed to go out to a Levaya. And lastly, Mishnah tells us, when a king is a Suda's Havara, meaning the first Suda after a close relative of his dies, Kol Am Suban Halaaretz, everyone sits on the ground, and he sits on a Dargash, which the Gemara is going to explain what it is. This is in contrast to Kohen Gadol, who sits on a Saf Solo bench. The king is more Chashuv than Kohen Gadol, so he sits on a Dargash, which is more Chashuv than a bench. And the Gemara tells us, Tonabanwe Vibraisa, Makum Shanagu, Nashim, Lotz Zachar Mita, Yoitzais, if it's a place where women go behind the Mita, that's where they would go, whereas Lifne Mita, if they go in front of the Mita, Yoitzais, that's where they go. Whereas Buda and Rimita tells us, Lo'ilam Nashim Lifne Mita Yoitzais, women always go in front of the Mita, Shekin Matsini B'David Shata Acher Mita Shal Avner, because we find that David went behind the Mita of Avner. Shemar the Pasuk says, Vamelch David Hoylech Acher Mita. And obviously it wouldn't be proper for David and Melch to go with the women, so it must be the women are always in front of the Mita and the men are behind the Mita, and that's where David was. However, Amrulai the Chum told him, Laya Davarel Fayasam. That was only to appease the nation, Vinispaisu, and they actually were appeased by David. Shai David Yoitse Mibain Hanashim, Vinichnas Labain Hanashim. David actually left from where the men were, and then he went to where the women were, Yasim Bain Hanashim, Vinichnas Labain Hanashim, and then went back from where the women were to where the men were, and that was in order to appease everyone to show that he was not part of this plot to kill Avner. Because the pasuk says, Avner, all of the nation, all of Israel knew that it wasn't with the king's etza, it wasn't his advice to kill Avner, and that's the only reason why he was going back and forth. So there's no raya that women are always in front of the mita and that men are always behind the mita. And Darash Rav Rav Darshan, everyone came lahavris David, which we know is referring to the suds havara to give him food. So really, ksiv, it's it's written in the pasuk lahachrois, but the karinon lahavrois. We read it as lahavrois, even though it's written as lahachrois. How do we understand this? Betchila lahachroisai. Originally, they came to be machris David. They want to kill him. They want to cut him off because they thought that he had said to kill Avner. But ulbasayf at the end, it was lahavroisai. They came to give him the suddis havara because they realized that it really wasn't his advice. And Rabbi Yehuda Ravi tells us mnei manenish Avner. Why was Avner punished? Why did he get killed? The answer is mnei shayla limchas b'shal v'lemicha. That's because he should have protested against Shaul and he didn't. Or Rabbi Yitzchak says Micha v'lenene, he did protest and he wasn't answered. This is referring to when David was running away from Shaul, who was trying to kill him, and there was a city called Noiv Ira Kaihanim. The city of Noiv was populated by Kaihanim, and they helped him along by giving him food and a weapon. And when Shaul found out about this, he killed all the Kaihanim in the city because he felt this was a rebellion against him. And Avner really should have protested this and he didn't. Both of them darshan the same pasuk. The pasuk tells us Vaykara Melcha Avner, and the king lamented over Avner. Vayomer, he said, Akamais Novel Yomus Avner. Should Avner have died as if he was a worthless person? Your hands weren't tied and your feet weren't placed in chains. Now, what does this mean? So, Mandamar loy micha. According to Mandamar, that Avner did not protest the killing of Noiv Ira Kaihanim. This is what David was selling. Your hands weren't tied and your feet weren't placed in chains. My time of mechitza. Why didn't you protest this? You could have said something to Shaul HaMelech, and it's not like your hands were tied behind your back. You could have said something to him, and he wouldn't have done anything bad to you. And since you did not protest, the pasuk continues. You fell like those who fell in front of evil people. However, Mandar Micha V'loy Nene, according to the one that he did protest against Shaul HaMelech, he just wasn't listened to. At Muhi Metama, David is saying this as an expression of wonderment. Akmais Novel Yamos, should he die like a worthless person? Your hands weren't tied, your feet weren't placed in chains. Michti, let's see. Mechui Maches, you did protest. My time it can fall if Nebene Avon Falto. Why did you fall like those who fall in front of evil people? And that's what David was saying in this pasuk. Nothing more continues. Mandar Micha, according to Mandar Omar, that he did protest. My time Yanish. So why was he punished? Why did Avner get killed by Yaev? And the answer is Arunachem Yitzchak, Sheshah Machos Beis David Shtei Shana Umechza. He made the kingdom of David wait 2.5 years because for 2.5 years he supported Ish-bosheth and didn't go to David, and that held back the rest of the nation from supporting David, and because of that he was punished. Now we can explain the Mishnah Chishmar V'Noisei V'Chulu. When the king gets a suddis havara, he sits on a dargish, and the question is, my dargish, what exactly is a dargish? So Amarula, he tells us Arsa Degada, it's a bed of good luck. They used to have this good luck charm in a house where they would set a bed and a table and just wouldn't use it, and that's where the king sits when he gets a suddis havara. Now is there such a thing that up until now a person is not going to sit on and now we're going to sit him on it? Throughout the rest of the year, this dargish is his good luck bed and no one lays on it, no one sleeps on it or sits on it, and now you're saying when he's an avil is going to sit on it? How does that make sense? However, Maskel of Rava, Rava asked on this question of the Rabbanon on Ula, my kusha, what's the problem? Maybe it's just like eating and drinking. Up until today, we don't give him food and drink. The king eats his own food and drink. Now, since he's an avil and it's the first suda after burying his relative, we have this chiyuv of suda havara where we give him food and drink, and therefore it makes sense that throughout the year he's not going to sit on this bed, but now that he's an avil, he will sit on this bed. So that's not a problem. El rather, ikasha hakasha. If you want to ask something on ula, this is the question on ula. We have a mishnah that tells us that an avil has to turn over all the beds in their house. However, the mishnah says dargish ein tzarich chavoysai el zayikvai. A dargish doesn't have to be turned over upside down; it's stood up straight. Now, if you want to say it's his good luck bed, which is set but never laid on, why doesn't he have to turn it over? Vatanya, we have a brass that tells us, Hakavis mitasai, one who turns over beds in the house, lo mitas bavadu kaife, he doesn't have to turn over just his bed that he sleeps on, el kol mitas shesh lo b'sech beisahu kaife, he has to turn over all beds that he has in his house as an avel. As we should have to turn over this arsa de gada as well. Ask the Gemara, my kosho, why is that a problem? Don't meet the hava mitim yuchedus lekelim. Maybe this arsa de gada's good luck bed is just like a mito, which is meant just for kelim. You're just supposed to put utensils and things like that on it. Tony, because it's very same brass that taught, if the bed is special just for Kalim, and it's a chloisa, you don't have to turn it over. And so maybe an arsa de gada is just like that, and that's why it doesn't have to be turned over. El rather, ikasha hakasha, if you want to ask a question on ula, this is the question that should be asked. Rishim Gamliel, and Rishim Gamliel argues, and he says, what do we do with the dargush? Dargush, matar kabitov, vunatom elov. Then an avil takes the dargush, and he undoes its loops, and it falls on its own. These loops are basically attached to the material which holds up the mattress that a person sleeps on, and instead of turning the bed upside down or putting it straight up, according to Rishim Gamliel, these loops are just undone. This material then falls down, and that's all that needs to be done. Now, if you want to say the dargush is an arsa de gada, karbitin miyasle, does it have these loops? It doesn't have them at all. It's designed completely differently without loops. And because of this, we actually have a good question on ula, and therefore the Gemara says, Elkios Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he said that Amar Yahumi Rabbanon, one of the Rabbanon told me, which of the Rabbanon was it? Rav Techlifa Shmei, that was his name. He used to hang out in the leather maker's market, and so he knew a lot about leather. Amar Lehi told him, my dargush, what's a dargush? Arsa de tzala. It's a bed with some sort of leather covering. The frame of a regular bed rises a bit above the material which holds up the mattress and therefore won't get ruined if it's turned upside down. But an arsa d'tzala is where the frame has a piece of leather stretched over it, so if it's turned upside down, the leather is going to be on the floor and get ruined, and therefore this arsa d'tzala, which is a dargish, is just stood up straight and it's not turned upside down. Now, we continue talking about this. Amar Yirmiyahu, Amar Yechonon, dargish, this bed, chafam beis on top, siruga mitoichai, its weaving is inside of it, meaning the way this piece of leather, which again holds up the mattress, is connected to the bed, is that strings are coming out of it and it gets woven through holes in the bed frame. Whereas mita, a regular bed, siruga me'al gaba, the straps are wound over the bed frame, meaning around it, and they don't go through it. As in, how can you say the mesa? We have a mesa that tells us, kli eitz, wooden kalim, me'emus ha'makabalim toma, when is it they're able to be makabal toma? We know they could only be makabal toma once they're considered completed, so when is it that wooden kalim are considered finished? So amita v'arisa, a bed in the crib, mishishufim ba'ar hadag, that's when they're smoothed down or sanded down with fish skin. And the question is, v'imita misuregas malgaba, if the way the material of the bed is attached to it is by winding the ropes around the frame, meaning on top of it, so normally shivas are a dog. Why does that frame need to be smoothed down with fish skin? It's completely covered by these ropes. Ella, must be, hava ha mitaychai, you're right. Whether we're talking about a dargush or a regular mita, the ropes are connected to the thickness of the frame and not wound around it. Whereas mita, a'ule v'afuke v'bizyani, when it comes to a regular bed, so these straps or ropes are woven through holes in the bed frame. Whereas dargush, a'ule v'afuke b'avkasa, these straps are woven or looped around loops, and that's the difference between a mita and a dargush. I want to remember, Amar Yaakov, Amar Rishu ben Levi, halacha Rishu ben Gamliel, the halacha Rishu ben Gamliel. The only way to do by dargush is undo its loops, and that's sufficient. Amar Yaakov Rami, he tells us, mita shenak l'tel yoytzin, a bed in which the poles are sticking out. This is the poles for the canopy. One was sticking upwards by the headboard, the other sticking upwards by the footboard, and that's where the canopy was draped over. So zayk v'vidayi, it just has to be stood up straight, and that's sufficient. You obviously can't turn it upside down because there are these poles sticking out of it. So all you have to do is stand it up, and that's it. And the Mishnah continues discussing kings. And a king could go out to Mechamas Roshos. Not a Mechamas Mitzvah, but just regular Mechamas Roshos. If he has permission from the Bezin of 71, he could break through anything in order to make a pathway for himself. If he needs to get to his field, he could break a path through anything that's in his way, even though it's other people's fields. No one's allowed to protest against him. The width of the path of the king has no shear. We don't limit him that only he's allowed to be this wide or that wide. He's allowed to make it as wide as he wants. And lastly, when it's wartime, the entire nation that goes to fight the battle, they plunder, take all the spoils and place it in front of him, and he takes his chalak first, and then they get the rest. And now the Gemara asks on the first part of the Mishnah, we already learned this once in an earlier Mishnah, that a king is not allowed to go out to Mechamas Roshos unless he has permission from the Bezin of 71. So why does our Mishnah say that again? And the answer is, since anyway the Mishnah is mentioning a bunch of things about a king, it also mentions his din on Mechamas Roshos, even though we already know it. And Omar of Yehuda Mishmuli tells us, anything that's said in the parsha of a king, a king is allowed to do that. This is referring to when the nation asked Shmuel HaNavi for a king. This is before they ever had their first king, so they went to Shmuel HaNavi saying, we want a king. So Shmuel told them a whole bunch of things that a king is able to do, all these powers that he has that previously were never done in Klal Yisrael because they didn't have a king. As Rabbi Yehuda is saying, b'shem Shmuel, that the king actually has these powers and is able to do these things. However, Rav Amar Rav says, the parsha was only said to frighten them. It's never because the pasuk says, you shall place a king over yourself. What do we learn from here? His fear should be on you. But according to Rav, the king is not allowed to actually do these things. Shmuel Navi was just trying to frighten them. You should know you have to be afraid of your king because he could do X, Y, and Z, even though really, hush, hush, he can't do those things. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi says, anything that's mentioned in the parsha of the king is allowed to do. Whereas Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Yudah says, this parsha was only said to frighten them. Shnei Mekos Pasuk says, you should place a king over yourself. His fear should be on you. And Rabbi Yudah said, similarly, there are three mitzvahs that Am Yisrael was commanded to do when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Lahamad la'melech, to appoint a king over themselves, ulahachor zar shal amalek, and to destroy amalek, v'livnei islam beis habichira, and to build a beis hamikdash. Now Rabbi Nuraya says, loy naro parsha zu el k'neged harumasan. This parsha was only said in response to potential complaints. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, ve'amarta asimo la'melech v'gaymer, and you might say that I want to place a king over myself. In other words, the machlokes over here in this braisa is whether or not there's a mitzvah to appoint a Jewish king. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a mitzvah. It's a chiyuv. When you come into Eretz Yisrael, you have to appoint a Jewish king. Whereas according to Rabbi Nuraya, it's not a mitzvah to appoint a Jewish king. It's just in response to the Yidden. If they complain, we want to have a king like everybody else, okay, so that's something that Hashem is maskim to if it's asked for, but not that it's a mitzvah. And we continue discussing this time of Raisa or Blazer. And Blazer tells us, Zakenim Shebedar Kahagin Shalu, the elders of the generation, when they went to Shmuel, they asked properly. Shenemar, because they said, Tunalonu Melech L'Shavtenu, give us a king to judge us. We just want a king to be able to judge us and punish people who need to be punished so we can have proper law and order. water, and that's perfectly fine. Aval Amei Ha'aretz Shebahen Kilkalu. The Amei Ha'aretz, the simple people, they ruined this request. Shenemar, because they said, V'haya gam anachnu chal agayim, and we're going to be like all the other nations. Ushvatanu malkeinu v'yitzel faneinu, and our king's going to judge us, and he's going to go out in front of us. So we see that Amoratzim, they were asking for a king because they wanted to be like all the other nations that had kings, and that's not a proper way to ask for a king. And continue to discuss these mitzvahs. Tanya v'bresh Rabbi Yishai, and Rishi tells us, Shalosh mitzvahs nitzavu Yisrael v'chisasan la'aretz. There were these three mitzvahs that Am Yisrael was commanded to do when they came into Eretz Yisrael, laham elohe melech, to appoint a king, ulhachos ha'ashal malik, destroy a malik, v'liv nislam beis ha'bechira, and build a beis ha'mikdash. V'nei idea ezim hentchila. I don't know which one is supposed to be done first. However, k'sha'aymer, when the pasuk says, ki yod al keis kol, milchama Hashem ba'malik, for Hashem has sworn by his throne, a war of Hashem against the malik, hava'aymer, that's telling us, laham elohe melech tchila, that they should first appoint a king. How do we know this? Because v'en kisei el melech, the word kisei, throne, which is the word case in this pasuk, is referring to a king. Shemar, because the pasuk says, v'yishav shleim al kisei Hashem lemelech, Shlomo sat on the throne of Hashem, so we see his lashon of a king before the war of Amalek. Therefore, the first thing we're going to do is appoint a king. Now, v'adayin eni yodei, I'm lovis lam besa b'chir t'chila, oi l'haruz ha'ashal Amalek t'chila. I still don't know if after appointing a king, the next thing that needs to be done is building a beis hamikdash, or is the next thing destroying Amalek. So therefore, k'shayimer, when it says in the pasuk, v'yinich l'chem akal aveichem v'gaymer, v'haya amakam asher yivchar Hashem v'gaymer, the first part of the pasuk means when he gives you respite from all of your enemies, then the pasuk says the place that Hashem chooses, hava'omer, that clearly tells us, l'haruz ha'ashal Amalek t'chila, that first we destroy Amalek. V'chem David aimer, by David also says, v'haya kiyash ha'melch David v'vesai, it was when David melch dwelled in his house, v'hashem v'hiniach l'chem yisaviv, and Hashem gave him respite from all the enemies around, uksiv, and afterwards the pasuk says, v'yemer melch nasa navi, the king said to nasa navi, re'ei no nech yash v'besa razim v'gaymer, see that I'm in my house of cedar, and Hashem's shechina, referring to the Aron, is just behind a curtain, meaning it's in a mishkan, and it's not in a beis hamikdash. So we see that it's only after all the enemies have been vanquished, then we can build a beis hamikdash. Now, once we're discussing building beis hamikdash, which we know was Shlomo HaMelech, we now discuss Shlomo for a while. Amr Shlomo HaMelech tells us, "B'tchila Malch Shlomo al Yoinim." First, Shlomo HaMelech ruled over everything, including the Yoinim, which means the Shadim, the demons. Shem because the pasuk says, "Vayeshev Shlomo al Kisei Hashem." He sat on the throne of Hashem, which is mashma that he ruled over even the upper realms. Ulebesayif Malch al Tachtonim. But later on, he only ruled over the lower realms, meaning only people in this world. Shem because the pasuk says, "Kihu roid debchol Eivra Hanar mitivsach avar Aza." For he ruled, he reigned all the Eivra Hanar from Tivsach until Aza. Now, which just explains for a moment, Rav Shmuel, they argue. Chanamar 1 says, Tivsach b'soif ha'olam, v'az b'soif ha'olam. The Tivsach is on one end of the world, and Az is the other end of the world, as we see the Shlomo ruled over the whole world. Chanamar, the other one says, Tivsach v'Aza b'had edadi ha'v'yasfu. The Tivsach and Aza were right next to each other. Hashem Shemalch ha'Tivsach v'al Aza, the same way that he ruled over Tivsach and Aza, which were right next to each other, Kach malch ha'kol olam kulay, so too Shlomo ruled over the whole world. Now, b'soif, later on, Loi malch ha'al Yisrael, he only ruled over the Yidin. Shanamar, because the pasuk says, Ani kai heles, ha'yisi malch ha'al Yisrael, v'gaymer, I'm kai heles, referring to Shlomo HaMelech, I was a king over Yisrael. Ubesayif later on, Leimalch el Yushalayim. He only ruled over Yushalayim. Shenemar because the pasuk says, Divr Kehelas ben David, Melech Birushalayim. And Ubesayif, Leimalch el Mitasai, he only ruled over his bed. Shenemar because the pasuk says, Hine Mitasai shall Shlomo Vegaimer. And Ubesayif, lastly, Leimalch el Amaklai, he only ruled over his staff, his stick. Shenemar because the pasuk says, Ze Hayachelki Mikal Amali. And this is when Ashmedai, the king of the Shadim, threw him out of his palace. Now Rav Shmuel, they argue, Chanamar 1 says, Makloi, that he ruled over his staff. Vachanamar 1 says, Gundai, he ruled over his cloak, which is a little bit better than just ruling over his staff. Now the question is, Hadar or Loi Hadar? Did Shlomo HaMelech go back to his original glory of ruling over everyone, including the Elyonim, the Shadim? So Rav Shmuel, they argue, Chanamar 1 says, Hadar, Vachanamar, Loi Hadar. And Madamar Loi Hadar 1 says he didn't go back. So Melech v'Hedyot, he was first a king, then he was just a Hedyot, a commoner. And Madamar Hadar, the one says he did go back to the original glory, Melech v'Hedyot, u'Melech. He was a king, a Hedyot, and then he went back to being a king. I'm going to explain the last part of Mishnah, parts last Loi Derech, and really this is going on the next part, which I said that when they go out to war, the soldiers bring back all the spoils and plunder that they took, and the king gets half of it. So the Gemara says, "Tanarban, we have a brisa, Uchus Malachim Lemelech, treasures they took from a king that they beat, those go straight to the king. But Ushar Bizushbazin, all the other spoils that they took, Mechsol Melech, Mechsol Am, half goes to the king and half goes to the nation. Armalei Abayel Ravdimi, Abayel Tol Ravdimi, Vamrila, and some say it was Rav Acha, Bishlama Uchus Malachim Lemelech, it's good that the treasures taken from the other king are given directly to the king, because Urchel Milsa, this is the proper way to do it. Only a king knows how to treat real treasures from another king. It's not proper to give treasures from a king to a regular commoner. Elo shar bizush bizin mechzol melch mechzol am menolon. But the rest of the spoils that were taken, how do we know that half is given to the king and half is given to the rest of the nation? And that's because the pasuk tells us chaf alf amen alf on top vayim shechel Hashem lenagid ulatzadik, and they anointed him as a nagid and tzadik. So nagid means a prince, but it's referring to a king, and tzadik is referring to tzadik hakoyin, who's anointed as the kohen gadol. So what do we learn from here? Makish nagid letzadik. We compare a king to tzadik the kohen gadol. Mat tzadik mechzoloy mechzol echov, just like tzadik meaning a Kohen Gadol, he gets half, and the other half goes to his brothers, other Kohanim, Af Nagid. So to a king, Mechtaloy, Mechtal Echav, half goes to him, and half goes to his brothers, meaning the rest of the nation. And the Tzadik Gufei Minolon, what about Tzadik himself? How do we know a Kohen Gadol gets half of everything in the Beis HaMikdash, and the other half of the Karbanis goes to the rest of the Kohanim? Titanic, because the Rebbe tells us, Rebbe says, V'hoysel Aaron Labanov, and it shall be for Aaron and his sons. What do we learn from here? Mechtal Aaron, Umechtal Labanov, half goes to Aaron, and half goes to his sons. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to discuss the Jewish king. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.